Welcome to another episode of Prime Flicks, the 15-minute film discussion podcast. My name is Ed, and with me this week is my co-host, Jim.
Hello.
Hi, Jim. Each episode of Prime Flicks focuses on discussing a film that's currently available to stream on Netflix or Amazon Prime, sometimes on both. Before we get started, we always like to mention two things. First, the film that we discuss is currently available on Netflix or Amazon Prime. This content is timeless, but the agreements with Netflix for licensing are not. So there's a good chance that it's still on Netflix or Amazon Prime when you watch this, but it may not be, and that's not our fault. Take it up with the people in charge. The second thing I want to mention is that this is a film discussion podcast. It's not a review podcast where we're just going to give you a brief overview, a little bit of detail, and tell you whether or not you should see a movie. Instead, we're actually going to get into the nitty-gritty and talk details. It's kind of like a discussion, a stand-in for that discussion you'd have with your friends after you see a film in the theaters. And so expect many, many spoilers. And Jim has told me that this episode will be particularly spoiler-heavy. And I think, based on the nature of the film, I can agree with him on that. This week's film is Marwin Call. It's currently available to stream on Netflix. It has a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, almost a perfect century mark. Has an 81 out of 100 on Metacritic and a 7.5 on IMDb. So critics and fans, movie watchers alike, really enjoy this documentary. So Jim, when you watched this movie, what were the first two things that came to your mind?
Jesus.
Put you on the spot.
Growth from simplicity to complexity and therapy. What about you?
The therapy angle, I don't know if I'd put it in those particular words, but I have a background in psychology, and I thought it was an interesting illustration of one person finding the perfect way for them to heal, at least partially. After what happened to this man, I don't know if he'll ever be completely healed, but he's made some progress.
Yeah, I feel like there needs to be a qualifier. Like, he's, even throughout the course of the film, you can still see he's still working through some things. And I think it's nice as an audience to see that, but I also don't think there's an end to this story ever.
Yeah, absolutely. It's on par with a lot of documentaries of this ilk. Another example might be The Devil and Daniel Johnson, if you've ever seen that movie.
I have not.
Oh,
worthwhile?
Or? Oh, absolutely. It would be in my top 10 documentaries of all time, actually.
Is this?
This one's, it's close, but you have to keep in mind, I've seen a lot of documentaries.
I feel like I have too, though. I feel like I've got to be up there with you.
We can go toe-to-toe one of these days. Maybe we should compare lists. You might have a few that I haven't seen. I might also have some that you haven't seen.
Just give me a top two.
Top two documentaries. Thin Blue Line is one. And there's also one that I didn't hear about until I watched it on Netflix called... Oh, I'm going to get the whole title wrong. The beginning of it is Dear Zachary, and I believe that it's like a colon, and then the rest of the title is a love letter from a father to his son or something like that.
Interesting.
Excellent, excellent. Tear your heart out kind of documentary, but pretty fantastic. So this one's up there, though. I mean, it's on that same level of just emotional gravitas. It really, really hits you hard.
It does. But you don't realize it will. I feel like... when you go into this movie, you don't have that expectation that this is going to be like a tear your heart out kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certainly points where you just, I don't know, it's moving.
Absolutely. It does a good job, I think, of not giving you the full picture up front and sort of revealing parts of the picture as time goes on. I don't know if you're nodding, so I think you probably agree with that. But I really hate it when they sort of start out and just give you the entire story and then sort of ask other people who are involved what happened. I'd rather that they tell you piece by piece. It's as much a storytelling exercise as anything. So I really enjoyed that about this movie.
That, I think, is its biggest strength, but it's also... I've never seen a movie like this that approaches its subject in this way exactly. There are some themes, especially very late on in the film, like in the last 20 minutes, that just are nodded to very, very slightly throughout the film, that just get brought out of the last second, that are just like, this seems like it could be a foundation of your movie.
Yeah.
And it's incredible, the way that they go about that.
So how, you know, on like a human level, I guess, or on a just a person-to-person level or whatever, I don't know what the right word is there, how did you feel about the filmmaker in this particular instance? His intentions, his, you know, choice of how he portrayed things, that sort of thing.
I think we see a mirror of the filmmaker in that photographer, that weren't the one who kind of first discovered Mark, and again with that photographer's friend, that kind of the guy who puts together the magazine.
You know? Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any of their names now, but yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Their names are beyond me now, but I think when I see those two characters, I think the best reflection of the filmmaker, where we see someone who appreciates Mark for the simplicity with which he creates this art, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and that he creates it not as art, but as therapy. And I think the filmmakers appreciate that. And I think these two men do as well. What about you? Do you?
No, I agree. I kind of got a little meta when watching this movie. I started thinking about, in Mark's mind, he's created this world and this story, and he controls every bit of it. And that's essentially what every writer, filmmaker, whoever does. And I guess I got caught up in the difference between, you know, and they obviously recognize it as art and how profound it is, but they also, but also you get the uncomfortability of a lot of people with Mark, because, you know, it's one of those things where when someone has issues like this, people notice and they don't know what to make of it. And even people who come to see his art gallery, I think that's why they intersperse those scenes of him sort of just talking with the patrons at the gallery. You could feel how uncomfortable they were, and you were uncomfortable for him in that moment watching that. And that as much made the movie for me as even just getting to see, you know, the whole thing. I think that was really what solidified for me. Because up until then, you see him in sort of a comfortable environment. You see him with people that he knows. You
right,
see him,
or alone, primarily or alone.
Right, which is his most comfortable, right. I suppose. But yeah, it's really interesting. And it's an interesting, and Jordan, one of our friends who is a neuroscientist, would actually be able to speak to this a little bit better. But I found it interesting that he never lost his creativity through this trauma, but that he had to express it in different ways.
He started as an artist. He started as someone who was very talented as like an illustrator.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And doesn't transform that.
Still has those skills of composition and everything, but he, you know, maybe lacks the motor skills to do it with a pencil, you know, in paper anymore and whatever. So, you know, it could actually, if I were more savvy on the actual neuroanatomy, I could point out, you probably
they damage this part of the brain or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. Whereas this
the
other
guy
part's
I was
intact.
Watching this with pointed out another interesting facet that stayed around. You and I noticed that he kept his creativity, albeit in different ways. My friend pointed out he also kept kind of this addictive personality where he had this drinking problem. He had maybe a drawing or writing problem as well. And now that transforms and, you know, now maybe it's coffee and cigarettes and these dolls, but that has certainly stayed even if he did have to relearn everything else. And I think that's something I'd love to hear Jordan at least a little speak on.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the best I could do is offer that it probably represents lower order structure of the brain. So urges and whatnot are more mammalian parts of the brain or almost reptilian parts of the brain. So that might be something that sticks around. If you just have a natural tendency to reach out for things, to approach things, you know, looking for reward or whatever, that's going to stick sure. around. Even if you can't form a coherent thought, you're still going to be compulsive about that sort of thing. So it's funny when I actually mentioned this to kind of the other people who are the sort of rotating co-hosts with me on this show, Jordan had seen this movie and was a very big fan, very big proponent of it, and said, you know, was telling the other people you should see this movie. So that doesn't surprise me. But since he had seen it before, I wanted to get a fresh take from somebody who hadn't seen it. So
yeah, I'm happy you mentioned, like, it was on the instant queue, but this podcast was certainly the impetus for bumping it up and watching it now twice before we stopped. So.
Hopefully it's that for the listeners as well, because, you know, we could just sit here and review whatever studio hit just came out, you know, for instance, streaming, but I don't think that's interesting. I think what's interesting is trying to you know, target some of these, and we're guilty of that. I've done that with a few movies, but for the most part, I try to find these sort of hidden gems in Netflix, because whenever I'm online on Twitter or whatever, the, you know, one of the most common tweets is just Netflix doesn't have anything good on it.
You're not looking in the right places.
Yeah, and what that means is Netflix doesn't have anything popular on it. That doesn't mean that there's nothing good on it. And so,
which I think is a valid point as well. It's just a conversation for another podcast.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, they're changing their business model, and you know, that's the kind of stuff I, for those people listening just via podcast, that's the kind of stuff I try to include on the website from time to time as I hear about it. When Netflix comes out with new features or new deals, I try to post that sort of thing. So if that's something you find interesting, be willing to check that out if you get a chance. But back to the film, is there anything else particular that you wanted to mention about the movie?
Yeah, dear God, we kind of need to talk about the way they approached this other side of Mark's personality.
Okay.
And the gender dynamics that exist in his mind and his life.
Sure, absolutely.
I feel like we need an expert on gender studies to have a valid conversation.
Yes, yes.
But you're psychology, and that's close enough.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was actually one of the things that I thought was interesting, that they revealed that later in the film and not earlier. They sort of hinted at it, and, you know, with his shoe collection and that sort of thing. It went from, oh, he has an interest in shoes, and you as the viewer are kind of saying, okay, does that, did he have that before or after? And does he still have, you know, that sort of thing? And what is he, does he like to look at the shoes, or, you know, but why are you going to have 200 pairs of shoes and not try them on, right? That's just crazy. Right. And even just the comfortability of it, that, you know, he recognizes that, you know, it might make him look strange or make people treat him differently, but he's more comfortable. And so I did like that moment where he actually got to put his shoes on and come back to the gallery.
Yeah.
Because really, honestly, if there's any scene that should be most accepting of that, I would assume that an art space would be okay with it, you know?
Right. Well, and that's what he thought, too.
Yeah. So
rewatching it the second time, you pick up that they never really hide anything about him, but they never really shine any light on it either.
So you went in with extra information, and so you noticed
the
clues.
Through, yeah, you kind of know, well, maybe I'll look for this, maybe I'll look for this. Mm-hmm. You might see a painted toe here or there, but there's certainly no focus on it until 80% of the way through the movie.
Yeah.
But I think the reason they structured it this way, and I'd be interested to find out if the filmmaker, I'm sure it was intentional, mm-hmm. but there's a parallel between that and the way a crossdresser tends to come out to people. And okay. I'd be interested to find out if this film was created that way because Mark wasn't sure if he was going to allow the filmmakers to see that part of his life. And I'm guessing that came out. And then I think they gave him the opportunity to say, do you want to include this at all? Kind of like in the art scene itself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they gave him final veto saying, look, if we didn't have this part in the movie, you've still got a very interesting life and a very interesting story, but we think it's you and we want to see it. I think he probably would have been able to say, no, I don't want to see that in, or that footage included.
Yeah.
But I think the way they put it together was exactly the way Mark, if he were showing us around his house,
mm-hmm.
would show us into his life.
Yeah. And I think that actually shows how comfortable he is with the filmmaker, that, you know, he would allow that, because he's clearly, if he's afraid for a few people to see it, he has to know that many people are going to see the film. And so if, you know, the filmmaker says it's okay, then he okays it, then that shows he has a lot of trust. And that's actually one thing, and it might be what we end on, but I thought it was interesting how you knew you had made it into his trust if you made it into his story.
Yes.
If you got your own character in the town. I thought that was really interesting, and it made me wonder if there are any people in his life who felt shunned because they weren't included or that sort of thing.
I'll bet there are now.
Yeah,
I'm going to guess his personality and his seclusion mm-hmm. probably limited that in the past.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. Yeah, I mean,
but I'll bet after this film came out, there's probably a good number of people that are like, hey, buddy, you're only a mile away from me.
Yeah, that's quite possible. I didn't get the chance to do the kind of in-depth research that I usually do for these things, so I don't know much about what happened to Mark. This is 3 years post the filming of this movie. So, well,
he just updated his site today. I actually just went to his website. There's a photo that was posted today. And it looks like his alter ego has an airplane now. So there you have
excellent.
It.
Excellent. I was really drawn in by the story, both the story within the story, i.e. the story of Marwin Call, but also just the story of Mark. So I really did like the composition and the way it was presented. So that's all we have for time for this episode. It goes so fast. You can find our past episodes and additional content at primeflix.tumblr.com. If you want to send us some feedback, you can do so at primeflix@gmail.com, tweet at primeflix, it's with an X, or you can go to the main website and click on the sidebar, and you can record an audio message, which is a new feature. Just please note that those messages may be broadcast on the show. Usually people like to know that. And if you want to leave some specific thoughts or comments about Marwyn Call, you can do so at the show notes for this episode, primeflix.tumblr.com/Marwyn Call. If you want to hear Jim and I talk more about other topics than movies, you can hear us at the Stuff Smart People Like podcast. Jim runs an excellent blog called moreknown.com, MoreKnown. Do you have anything specific on Moreknown that's coming up that you'd like to mention, Jim, or...
A little book release that just came out a couple days ago. But
just a tiny book release. Jim has just released the book Write with Lions, which I recommend heavily. You can check that out at moreknown.com. It's also available on Amazon, so you can check it out there. And that's write, as in you're writing a piece of on a piece of paper, not write as in correct. So until next week, I would like to tell you to enjoy your streams, and we will see you once again.